It's good to be your speaker this morning. If some of you are looking at the schedule, I'm not mad, obviously. We'd kind of had a switch, and the schedule had been changed again, so it didn't reflect the change for me and Matt. But today, I'm your speaker, and I'm glad to be that speaker and have the opportunity to teach this morning. A lot of things direct our thoughts and minds when we go to teach or put together a lesson. I've been thinking of some things for quite some time, and our latest gospel meeting kind of sparked them thoughts again and kept them going. And so my lesson is going to be based a little bit on that, not on a rehash of what they've talked about, but kind of that style of teaching. I want to look at, and we're going to read it, but you don't have to turn there, but if you want to title the lesson, we can talk at fear and trembling. This isn't necessarily a great topic, is it? We're starting off on a bad foot already. But you can see, I talked to Brother Melvin, Merle Helwig in his lesson about fire and brimstone, And you know, I told him, you know what? We don't hear enough of that. I'm just old enough to be part of that error. I've seen it disappear. It's gone from the teachings. Nobody wants to hear that anymore. They want to hear the love, joy, peace, and all the good things they're going to get from God in this life. Well, Philippians chapter 2, 12 says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now, much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." It's biblical. We have it right there before us. You know, we're to develop a Christ-like character. We're to develop a Christ-like service to the Lord. We're to work our soul salvation out. What's that tell me? Well, it tells me I shouldn't listen to just the preacher or just so-and-so to get all my religious understanding from. So how do I get it? You know, people today say, well, so-and-so don't believe that, so I don't either. Well, that's great. What's the Lord say? It says work out your own soul salvation with a purpose, with a mindset, with an attitude, with an understanding and a belief. All those things can be added to this. It's important to notice that Paul said, do this with fear and trembling. Now, that didn't bode well. What fear and trembling are we to have today? Well, we're going to talk about that a little bit in detail and go through this as we get continuing in the lesson. You know, the early church, Luke records it in Acts chapter 9:31, says, "Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied." There's that word, fear of the Lord. So it's not just fear, it's fear of what? The Lord. The Lord God. Why are we to fear the Lord God? Well, we're going to talk about that in continuance and rehash this, and we're going to go over this and remind ourselves of this. Why do we fear the Lord? Why do we fear God? But there is definitely a mindset when we're approaching our service to the Lord. There's something there that drives us. You know, fear is a weird thing. It can drive us, and the scripture is going to show that here. Fear or knowledge of something can drive us away from that object and towards something else that would avoid that situation, doesn't it? Well, the Bible's not blind, and God's not blind to that. There is a fear of things that can happen to us. We're going to avoid those things, and we're going to turn to something that can protect us from having to deal with that. And that's what the scriptures are dealing with this morning. We have that. We have to fear something that can cause us great harm, something that can be a pitfall to us, and turn to something that can save us or protect us or keep us from it. The fear of the Lord. You know, they were walking in the fear of the Lord. Today, that's a question for us. Are we walking in the fear of the Lord? Are we those people? Are we of that mindset when we serve the Lord and we come to service today even here before God now? Are we in the fear of the Lord? Well, that's something we want to address and talk about today. Fear and trembling is not a proper concept. You know, people want to hear about the love, joy, what's in it for me, the Joel Osteen effect. I don't know if you ever see Joel Osteen, but it's all about what you can get in this life. God's going to bless you with riches, wealth, a new job, a new car, and he does it with a smile, and everything's great, and he's just this great Hollywood producer kind of guy. That's really what he is. He's an entertainer. He's telling you what you want to hear so you'll donate to his congregation, to his works, to his paycheck. What do you want to do? Well, just pray to God, and he'll give it to you. Oh, you're going to get that new car. Just pray and believe, and God's going to give you that new car. He don't teach of the judgments of God. He teaches what's in it for you. What can you get in this life? He don't teach much about heaven. He teaches about your well-being right now. How much better could you be? Just donate to me and pray and reach out, and boy, God's going to bless you abundantly. You'll get that new job. You'll get that vacation. You'll get this. You'll get that. Whatever it is. And he's full of those talkings. I listen to him just for the almost entertainment purpose of it, to hear what little he does tell you about God. It's all about you. Make me feel good, and I'll come donate to your congregation. There's no harsh teachings there. People prefer to hear about that. The world prefers that. They want to hear about the love of God, the mercy, and the grace. And that is true. God is a loving, caring God. All these things are not false. But there's some things of God we need to understand. There's some things about living a life towards God that we need to be aware of. Our eyes have to be open to Him. If we fail to teach Him, we're not going to know Him. If we forget Him, we're not going to study Him. We're going to put Him away. These kind of teachings have been put by the wayside because of, I guess you might say, a political correctness. Nobody wants to hear the hard podium pounding hell and fire brimstone lessons anymore. Why? Because it turns them off. That ought to be a little bit of a red flag. Sometimes we need that. Sometimes we need it. We need those kind of lessons. I'm not going to pound the podium today, I promise you. That's not my style. But sometimes those are good, hard lessons to hear. Sometimes the truths are hard. Sometimes things that we need aren't always comfortable, aren't always pleasurable to hear, listen, or to be told. And the Bible's aware of that, and the teachings are much in that order in the Scriptures. Paul addressed his teachings that way. They weren't always easy for the listener, were they? They weren't always about the love and mercy and grace of God. It was about where they stood and what they need to do. If not, here's the results. So those are the things we look at today, and the world doesn't want to see that. We point to God's righteous judgment and His wrath and His law, and people say, whoa, 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 my God is not that God. My God's not that God. No, my God's all loving and caring. And basically what they're saying is, I can do what I want as long as I feel good about it, and God's going to accept me. That's a scary concept. That is a scary concept. Lord, you're going to accept me. That's a challenge to God. People are pretty bold in this life, aren't they? They beat their chest. They say, well, I'm righteous. I feel good about it. I don't care what you say. Whatever. My God's loving. Yeah, you can quote all the scripture you want, but God's all-knowing and all-loving and caring. He's going to have mercy and grace upon me. He already has. He's given you Christ Jesus, and He let Him die on the cross for you. What have you done about it? Stand there boldly and say, well, I can sin, and it's okay. God, you're going to accept me? Unrepentant? I don't think that's the God we talk about in the Scriptures, the God that was preached, and the God that we serve today, and the God that's recorded in the Scriptures that we hold close and dear to our hearts. The emphasis is on God's love and mercy today. That's all we want to talk about. The hell and fire and brimstone preaching of another generation is past. I think we've become, I guess, a forgetful people. I think we need these kind of teachings. I think sometimes we need to look at these things. I don't say sometimes, I think. I shouldn't say that. We need to study these things. They're in the Scriptures for a reason. Let me change my mind. My words there. I chose the wrong words. We need to study and hear these things because they're written for our learning. They're in there. We can't just avoid them and say, well, I don't want to talk about that because I want to know a loving God. That's great. Know the loving God, but know all of God. Learn all the Scriptures. Understand where God comes from. We need to know God in order to live with God. You ever think about that? He says, all those who know me and love me are going to have a home in heaven. If you don't know him, how are you going to have a home in heaven? So that fear needs to be there. That understanding of the Scriptures needs to be there. That ongoing teaching that we've chosen to forget as a generation, as a world, and a society. That you don't see any preacher up there preaching anything on TV or radio about these kind of topics because they don't get airtime. They won't last, not even amongst their own members. Oh no, it's all turned to love, love, love. We're just all happy and smiley, and we're not going to discuss anything negative with a big bright smile. I don't know if Paul always smiled, or Peter and him when they preached and taught, calling the Pharisees stiff-necked and uncircumcised. I don't think there was a smiling, loving concern there. I think it was hardcore preaching. And they needed it. Though in that case, they needed it. Not always is that the case, but in that case, they needed it. We've come to extreme opposites, so we've really kind of as a society turned to that mindset that religion's all about being happy and cheery and loving and everything's in it for me in this life. And that's the wrong concept we've taken. There's three things I want to look at really in this lesson, moving quickly, is define the fear of the Lord. What is that fear of the Lord? Am I scared as I would be scared of somebody coming to rob my house or hold me up? Or is there a different fear involved? Why is the fear of the Lord important? And how can we develop a good, healthy fear? There is a good, healthy fear. The Bible's talked about it already. We've read that. The word fear simply means, in the Old Testament, we'll look at Old and New as far as the definition of this, just to confirm, it is a fear of terror, awesome or terrifying. Something awesome. Something bigger than life. Something powerful. Something terrifying. Something that would amaze us. An object that causes us fear. Greek, not much different. Fear, dread, terror. That which strikes terror. So we see fear is not a popular topic. It's not a popular thing we want to discuss. The fear of the Lord is often is referred to or inferred to as reverence or awe. Now we're getting a little more deeper. Now all of a sudden we see some more scriptural application of this. Reverence or awe implies a place for trembling. That's what awe or reverence means, a place for trembling. So now we have fear and we have trembling. Hebrews 11 and 9 says this, He sent redemption to His people. He hath commanded His covenant forever. Holy and reverend is His name. We reverence God. What is His name? Reverend. Why do we not call people reverend on this earth? Because it's God's name. That's a scripture right there that'll tell us a lot of things about a lot of religions in this world. Reverend is God. He is to be reverenced. He is to be recognized. He is the Almighty. He is the one that bears that name with awe, with fear, with trembling. No man on earth can wear that name. Scripturally speaking, they cannot wear that name. Old men do. They attempt. But it's not biblical. Psalms 4 and 4 says, Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. The Psalm 89 and 7 says, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be had in reverence of all them that are about Him. We're to revere who? God. Holy and reverent is His name. We're to be in awe of Him. We're to have a godly fear of who? God. We're to respect God. We're to see the awesomeness of God, the power of God, the wrath of God, the love of God. Holy and reverent is His name. Stand in awe. I fear for those people that want to call themselves reverent in this life. God on earth, He won't be well pleased. Reverence is to have a moral fear or to fear morally. We see that with God's commands. You know, many come to God humbly with a good, healthy, godly fear, which I believe all of us have today. We come to remember Jesus Christ. We respect and honor what God has done for us in Christ and on the cross. We're dedicated to this. We keep the word. But many come to God in the presence before God or even walk this life in a boastful, proud, arrogant, sinful boldness before God. There is no fear in them. Oh, there may be fear. There's not that godly fear we're talking about. There's no fear in what they do. There's no shame in what they do. There's no repentance in what they do. There is a me, I, myself attitude. God will accept me. I am justified. I said so. I believe. I think. I want. I need. Never does it inquire of God. Many of you have looked at me and you know, you think back of people you've talked to, studied with, whatever. You hear that when they start talking religion. It's all about me, I think, we, me. Never God, never the scriptures. They always want to go back to me, myself, and I, don't they? Well, I don't believe and I don't think. God didn't ask us what we think, did He? He created this. He said, ponder upon these things, the Holy Scriptures. That's what we should think on. It should conclude a place for trembling. You ever think about that? Paul talked about it in Philippians in our text, Philippians 2:12, a place for trembling. Do you ever got to that point in your life? Maybe before you're a Christian, you heard the gospel for the first time, or maybe sometime now since you've been baptized believer and following Christ. It is to cause moral fear. We're to tremble. Just like the reverence, it causes a moral fear. We're fearful of something. There's something that is in awe, we're in awe of. It's like, wow, we recognize something. We have flagged this. We see something. And that's not good enough. People see this. People see that great hole called the Grand Canyon. They still get so close to the edge, they fall in. I use that example a lot because I lived there many years, and it's amazing how many people fall into the hole. Travelers across the world yearly fall into that hole and die. Because they get so close, they see it. They know there's a fear of dying, but they just got to get closer because it doesn't look real, and they fall in and die. That's what people do with religion today. That's what people are doing with God today. Oh, I know there's a fear of God. Yep, I'm not going to read about it, not going to learn about it, not going to think about it. He's all love. I'm fearful of Him, but I'm not really enough to be morally fearful to understand God's position and where He'd have us to be, and that is with Him and in Him. to morally fear something. The proper fear of the Lord, though so far now we've seen, includes reverence and awe. And we don't think about fear that way too often, but when it comes to God, that's where it stands. Are we in reverence and awe of people in this life that call themselves reverend and not use God's word? No, it's to be God himself, the Almighty, the Creator. We're to be afraid to offend God in any way. As followers of Christ, we should be fearful. If we offend God, if we go beyond his word, we leave out his word, we violate his commands in any way, that's a fearful thing. We want to serve God. We want to please him. We should tremble and quake at the fact that we have sin in our life if it's unrepented. Not fun stuff to talk about. We should not sleep at night. We should be in a cold sweat and want to get right with the Lord quickly. You should think every breath could be your last and then you didn't have time to repent. I got to get it done right now. That's the kind of awe and fear and trembling the Lord wants. He wants obedience. And we understand there's another side of God, that judgment side of God, that all those who disobey him. And we understand the trembling and the effect that it have on us because we know what happens to those folks according to the scriptures. And we want to get right with the Lord fast. We correct it. We should have a fear and trembling if we find ourselves at odds with God and quickly get it right. That's the kind of fear and trembling the Lord wants. That you understand there's a left side and a right side. Let's just put it for that matter. The left side's not good. The right side's good. If we're falling to the left, we need to get back to the right fast. We need to get there because we know the left is bad. There's evil things going to happen, or there's bad things that will happen due to my actions or my lack of actions for the Lord. Fear and trembling. Hebrews 10:26 says, "For if we sin willfully after that, we have received the knowledge of the truth. There remaineth no more sacrifice for sin." Christ was it. There isn't a second chance. There isn't a purgatory. We talked about that, you know, that place reserved for the souls and a second chance in the gospel meeting this past weeks. It doesn't exist. There is no more sacrifice for sin. It's Jesus Christ. Keep that in mind. You should fear and tremble because this is the last days. This is it. He's given his son. What more could he give beyond his own son and his bloodshed? But in 27 he says, "But a certain fearful looking for the judgment and a fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries." Man, there's that bad stuff again we got to talk about. It's written. We need to know it. What's the opposite of good? Bad. What's the opposite of good? Evil. Sin. What's the opposite of righteous? Sin. What? Sin is. So how is God going to deal with that? Well, he tells us right here. It's not me. It's not me being negative. It's the scriptures warning Christians, this is not your place. This isn't for us because we have a godly fear. We have a healthy respect and awe for God, a reverence for God that causes us to do something. He goes on to say that he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. That was by God's doing. People say, well, Moses was just a mad guy. God commanded that. Hebrews 10:30 says, "For we know him that saith, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith who? The Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people." There's that tough spot. Everybody's going to heaven. And I don't remember which one of our speakers this past week said that. Who's going to go to heaven? Everybody believes there's a hell, but nobody knows who. Nobody believes that anybody's going to go there. At least they're not. Well, who's going to go there? What it was hell for? The Bible says there's going to be many that go there. Well, who are the many? The people that believe in a love-only gospel can't tell you who's going to go there because it goes against their very principle of doctrine of just love only. Everybody's perfect and okay in their own mind, and God will accept that. That goes against the teaching of hell, doesn't it? Because the Bible says, wide is the gate and broad is the way, and many be there that find it. They're going to fall into destruction. So you ask those people that have no godly fear, who's going to be in hell? They don't have an answer. Well, the murderers and evildoers. Well, there's going to be murderers and evildoers that were repentant that are going to be in heaven. You ever think about that? There's no sin that you can't repent of, that there's going to be people standing there in judgment. They're going to be found faithful, but in their past life have committed all sorts of evil. So there are going to be people that have been guilty of those things? Very likely so. So who's going to be in hell? They can't tell you because God is not the God of, I'll accept any way as long as you feel right in your mind. Have you respected me? Do you hold the God in awe and reverence as the Almighty, the guy or the creator of God that's given you the breath of life? You know, man says he can create life. He didn't create nothing. He takes what God has. He stirs it around in the petri dish and figures out something. He goes, oh, look, we created something. They created nothing. They can't create life. They can't create a cell from the dust of the earth and create life out of that. They're just dabbling with what God's already created, and they've not even come close to figuring it out. Man thinks he's got it figured out. We think we've got it. It is a fearful thing in the 31st verse of Hebrews 10 to fall into the hands of the living God. Why is that scripture there? He's telling us there's a way of righteousness. My disciples have preached it. Jesus was the living word. He came down on this earth. He's told you this great place. Here's the roadmap to get there. I'm going to give you the GPS, and the direction's already there. Just hit the button, and if you follow this, you're going to get there. It's not going to change. I'm not going to change the path. You're going to get there. But he says, if you deny this, if you want to be self-righteous, self-defining, oh, I'm not going to take the path everybody else does. I'm taking another road because it's a shortcut. He says, you know what? It's a fearful thing. Fearful. There's that God of fear. We're to fear him. Why is that? The Bible tells us, don't fear the man that can kill the body, but fear those who can kill the body and soul. That second death is what we should fear. That is the death where we're cast out. We die from this earthly vessel. We're going to die and face judgment. That second death is that separation from God where he says, I know you not. We don't want to be part of that. He says it's a fearful thing. We need to teach fear. We need to have a fear. We can't be arrogant. We can't be puffed up about religion and God and think I'm just so self-righteous I couldn't fall from grace. Or I know so much Bible I can't know no more. Or it doesn't matter what God says, I feel good about it. This brings me to a story, and if you like me, I watch a lot of history and documentaries and things, and long story short is the American sniper, Chris Kyle. Before his death, I caught a documentary on him, and it fascinated me because I'm always intrigued by people like that. How can you do what you do? And so I listened to his story, and as a great American hero he was responsible for over 200 verifiable kills, I guess. He was talking to this, the interviewer, I can't remember what the person's name was, it doesn't matter. The questioning went on for quite some time about his life, and it was intriguing how he got to where he was and what was going on. He talked about what he'd done over there, and he sat there with his chest out and pride and just, yep, yep. And they were asking questions. He's very articulate, telling what he did, very matter of fact, very detailed, very cold, if you will. And you have to be, I guess, to do that job. Finally, the moderator goes, let me ask you something. Don't you have any regrets? Don't you have any moral dilemmas with this? Don't you feel any remorse for what you've done? Chris Kyle looked at him and kind of raised up in his chair and just stuck his chest out even a little more and looked at this guy just stone cold and says, look, I'm ready to answer to God for every shot I took. Every one of them deserved it. I'm like, wow. I can't judge Chris Kyle, but he will have to get an account for that. That's a pretty scary mindset to have, though, isn't it? He'll get that chance. I heard that interview. I was like, did I just hear him say that just so boldly and matter of fact to God? He will accept it because I was doing his work. Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't, but that's for the Lord to decide. I know what the Bible teaches us. That was a guy that had no godly fear. He was not afraid of God. He didn't fear about any of his past life. Something amazing when you think about that, isn't it? You know, you remember the thief on the cross? We had two thieves, you know, before Jesus and crucified at the same time as Jesus. One was mocking him, and both of them at one point, I guess, was mocking him. But finally, the one stood up getting late in his life, and he's taking in some of his last breaths. And he went after the other thief. He says, don't you see we're in the same condemnation as he? He recognized Christ. He recognized, okay, I've got a fear now. My life is coming to an end. There's something going to happen. I believe in an afterlife. What is my reward? Right now, my earthly reward is death for what I've done in this life. I need to get something different in the second life. He recognized Christ. Christ said, thou shall be with me today in paradise. He received him or accepted his repentance. But that thief on the cross had a godly fear all of a sudden. It may have came just a split second before his death, but it came. He had opportunity. He had breath of life in him. The other one, we have no record of that. We have just the opposite. There was no fear, or there was too much pride. Pride overrides fear, doesn't it? Pride of life can override fear. I got a feeling Chris Kyle, his comments were based on pride. He was a very prideful man. And he held what he did in a very high esteem, as if he was doing a religious service. and not his words, but that was what I'm reading through his whole interview process he went through that day I heard that interview. Bible tells us in Philippians 2, 9 and 11 that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Think about that. These people go around denying God, the terrorist, Hitler. Think of the most evil, vile people in this world. Those who worship the devil and deny God, those who deny a God at all and don't worship anything. It says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. I don't think we're going to have the power to stand when Christ comes again. With the might and the awe he's going to show, we're all going to, the Bible says we're all going to do it. I don't think we'd have the power. I don't think nobody would have an idea to say, well, I'm not going to bow. I'm just not going to do it in that day. I don't think that's an option. The Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Have you thought about that? The worst and the evilest of people in our history are going to be standing maybe right next to you, and they're going to confess Christ. But in this life, they didn't even recognize a God. Now there's fear. Now there's fear. They're like, whoa. This is real. Pride and arrogance has been humbled, hasn't it? The fear of God, the awesomeness of him, is going to be revealed. But for them, it's going to be too late. There's going to be those who it's too late. Romans 14:11 repeats the same theme. Every tongue shall confess to God. Every knee shall bow. And every tongue shall confess to God. Every tongue. That goes all the way back to Isaiah 45 and 23 talks about that too. So from Old Testament to New, we have it. There's going to be a day of humbling, a day that people realize the fear of the Lord, the day that they realize the awesomeness and the reverence they should have showed before God. And the time they do it, it's going to be too late. It's going to happen at the resurrection. Every knee and every tongue, every knee. I believe that's absolute. The Bible teaches it. I believe there's going to be those begging for mercy. Matthew records that. Even the ones that say they did good and God, Lord, doesn't deny them. He says, I don't know you because you didn't do it in my name. Maybe you preached the gospel of love, the doctrine of love, and all that. And that's all good because it was scriptural to preach the love part, but you didn't keep my whole will. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 10 that we must all appear before the judgment seat of God. If you don't have godly fear now, you're going to have it then. Why would we have it too late? When God tells us, hey, you don't need to fear the second death if you're found in Christ Jesus. If you're found doing his will, we don't need to have that fear. We have a godly fear and reverence and respect always, but we don't need to fear that second death. That godly fear and reverence causes us to come here and to worship him and to realize this world will lead us down a path that is not good, but the righteous path will lead us to heaven. That's the kind of fear the Lord wants. We realize the corruption and sin in this world. And we realize the glory that could be in heaven and will be there for us if we're obedient to the call. Moving quickly. Proverbs 1 and 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. If we don't have that godly fear, how are we going to get wisdom? That's what he's saying. We have that godly fear, it brings about wisdom. Because now, why? We're going to be found in the scriptures. We're going to be looking. We're going to be studying. We're going to be trying to find out. No longer am I relying on what's between my head. My ears, I'm looking in the scriptures. I'm studying. Proverbs 8 and 13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogance. And the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate. Wow. The Lord God. There's some things he just doesn't like, isn't there? We don't talk about that. The world doesn't recognize that. We can't forget it. There's things he hates, he despises, that he turns his back from you on. And that if you don't get right, he will never turn back to you. You'll never have the Lord's ear again if you live in sin. The Bible says God hates these things. That's a fearful thing. Proverbs. I'm sorry, that was Proverbs. I think I said Psalms. That was Proverbs. Proverbs 14:27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. So if we want to depart from evil, we have to have a good, healthy, godly fear. We have to have fear of God. We have to have a reverence for God to depart from evil. Proverbs 16:6 says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. There we go. We talked about this in the beginning of the lesson. Fear causes two things. It causes us to recognize where we could be in danger, and it's going to cause us to avoid it, the natural man. If you hold my hand over the fire, and I don't know what fire is, and it burns my hand, I'm going to learn. I got to stay away from that fire, and I'm going to. I have a respect and a fear for that fire. It can burn me. I understand that now. We don't have to get burnt by the scriptures. We can read the scriptures and know that there's a fire that can burn us. And here's the way to avoid it. Don't touch it. Respect it. You better fear it, because it's going to bite you if you dabble in it. We have that ability, that understanding and knowledge. Without the fear of the Lord, we cut ourselves off from God's wisdom. You ever think about that? We're going to struggle. We're going to be cut off from the wisdom of God. We're going to dabble in evil. We're going to fall to it. We're going to fall. We're going to fall to evil. We will not come to know the love of God that can deliver us from this evil world. We can't ever reach Him. We're not going to have the full scriptures. We're not going to have the full understanding. We can't get there because we've cut off God. We've cut off a portion of His word. We've stopped, and we've fallen to evil. We'll not be motivated to work out our own soul salvation, as Paul said. Because why? I don't need to work. I'm a pretty smart feller. Yep, God's going to accept me. We'll not be motivated to repent. Why? There's no shame, no humility in what we've done. We don't reverence God. We don't fear the Lord God. We're blind to His full will because we've stopped talking about the full gospel of Christ and Jesus and God's commands and will for mankind. We decided we're going to piece a little here, piece a little there. We're going to get the Cliff Note version, and we're going to live by it. And that's what this world's all about, Cliff Notes. What I found on Facebook, social media, that's where I get my scriptures and my teaching. And boy, they're really bright in that stuff, aren't they? I've gotten my religion today. Without the fear of the Lord, we can't please God. We can't please Him. It's not going to be possible. But how do we develop that healthy fear? Let's move on quickly. The fear of the Lord comes such as we talk about faith. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. How do we develop a godly fear? No different. By the word of God. It comes by the word of God. We develop a healthy fear by realizing there's something we need to read. We need to study. We need to apply. And that's going to give us that healthy fear. The Bible talked about that from the Old Testament to the New so far. You know, in Deuteronomy, in the Old Testament, it wasn't the church, but in the children of Israel, in Deuteronomy 31 and 10, going about the 13th verse, says, the children of Israel were told to gather every 7 years to go and read and hear the word of God was one of the commands. And why is that? That they may learn to fear the Lord God. They may understand Him, respect Him, obey Him, reverence Him. Psalmist said in Psalms 89 and 7 says, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be had in reverence of all them that are about Him. If we're going to be found in Christ, if we're going to claim to be of God, do we have that reverence and that godly fear? The Bible says it's required in those who are found in Him. We respect Him. We respect Him enough that we see the truth and it may be contrary to our lives that we decide, I got to get it right. I've got to fix that. I've got to change. It may be hard. It may be painful. But it may be less painful than what we're facing if we don't. You know, we receive a lot. We do a lot of things to our bodies and through medicine and different things in this world that are uncomfortable and painful. We put ourselves through crazy stuff. Because we know if we don't, the disease or the sickness or the results, if we don't, are worse than the treatment we're going to receive. Well, God speaking, it's all good on the right side. If we don't correct and deal with those harsh things now, we can't receive the blessings and gifts. There's nothing hard on God's side. Once we're on God's side and we're in heaven, it's going to be great. But to avoid the pitfalls, we got to get right with the Lord. Reading on, it says, therefore, let us therefore fear, lest a promising being left of entering into the rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 through 2 talks about that. It says it's got to be mixed with faith. Do you have faith in God today? If you do, do you respect him? Do you fear him? Are you in awe of him? Do you understand that he is a creator and the Almighty, and there's something we've got to do to serve him and please him? That it's not about how I feel about anything. God didn't ask my opinion. He didn't ask Moses' opinion. He commanded. And he had that right. He is God. He had that right. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 4 and 11, let us labor, therefore to enter in that rest, lest any man fall. It says we got to do something or we're going to fall. You hear that? We can't just say I'm godly because I say I am. It says labor. The Bible says we're to be found in the scriptures, we're to be found reading, we're to be found laboring. There's doing and doing the will of the Lord. It's not faith only. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We hear the word of God and it causes us to do something, doesn't it? Romans 10, 17. He says we got to be found laboring. There's got to be something. We can't sit back and say, well, I'm ready. I did. Yep, I believe it. Not good enough. He says, you got to labor. With the proper fear of the Lord, we'll work out our own soul salvation, as Paul talked about in the beginning of this lesson. We talked about we will labor to enter in that heavenly rest with a godly fear, a good, healthy, godly fear. Not a fear that the world knows, because we don't have that. Because once we're found in Christ Jesus, we respect God and understand him. The world can fear the fiery indignation and the wrath and the judgment the Bible talks about. We don't need to do that. That's not the kind of fear we need to have. Let us labor, therefore, enter into rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief, those who'd fallen. He's given us a history of people that's done this. Don't fall to that same unbelief and fall from grace. Not only will we save ourselves, but we're going to let what the Bible talks about, we talk about letting our light shine. Well, that's going to give others opportunity to see the gospel truth in us. It's going to give us opportunity to preach and teach the gospel and save others. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and 1, last verse. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Today, if you haven't gotten right with God and you're not in the fear of the Lord, and it's been opened up to your eyes, now's the time to get right. God doesn't guarantee us the next minute, next hour, next day. The invitation's there 24/7, but at the close of this lesson, we're going to encourage you to come forward and get right with the Lord. Be added to the faith, as Romans 10:17 says. You've heard the word, you believe, as Hebrews chapter 11 says, and 6. We repent of our past sins, meaning we realize it's not about me anymore. God has a plan, and I went against it. I need to get right. I'm going to turn away from those things. I'm going to live for the Lord. We're going to confess Christ. With a mouth, confession is made that Jesus Christ is the Lord. We're going to go down in that water grave of baptism. Acts 22 and 16. I like this verse because it says, why do you wait? Arise and be baptized. There's no delaying. Don't wait. You don't know. He says, get right with the Lord. And then you can have that good godly reverence, that good godly fear of the Lord and respect that he deserves. If you're one of this class or need help and you got a sin of public nature, you can come forward and make that be known as we get ready to stand and sing the song of invitation. But don't delay. Get right with the Lord before it's too late. And you can come forward, and if that's uncomfortable for some, meet with somebody immediately after services. We'll get you taken care of, and we will talk with you and do what's necessary. If it's baptism, we can handle that here too also this day. Won't we stand and sing the song of invitation?